Thank you very much, Wes. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our morning of worship. Let's spend a few moments in prayer. And the purpose of the prayer is very simple. It is to test ourselves to see if we are in His Spirit, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Him. It's not a ritualistic prayer. It's a very important prayer. So let's prepare ourselves for worship by prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly, for the opportunity to use the freedom that we have in this country to come and worship You in the manner in which we see fit. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to You in the power of Your Spirit and the glory of Your Son. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's begin with song, Brian. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Wes. Good to have Wes and Sharon back from California. We made it last Sunday. I don't know how joyful it was music-wise, but we did make it. And but we're glad y'all are home safely. That's great. Philip, how you feeling? Okay. Oh, absolutely. That's why I asked for a report. See how you're doing. So you have damaged part of the kidney. Okay. So, Pat, you got to put away that rubber club hole there. You got to put that away. Well, she did that so nobody would see. You learn those things. Learn those tricks. So, well, good, Philip. We'll continue to be in prayer. Very good. Marriage doing good? Put you right on the spot. What are you going to say? No?
There's your other kidney there.
You can take it. Dang, is your family all well?
My father found out after the biopsy that he does not have cancer.
Good.
Not cancerous, but he does have to have the mass removed, so they're scheduling a lung surgery.
Okay.
His comment to me was, well, I'd rather either drop dead on the table or live for 50 years without cancer. But he doesn't want the in-between, so
okay.
News to him.
All right. He wants 50 more years?
Well, no.
Boy, he's a brave guy. I don't even want 50 more. Wow. Okay. Now, in regard to, I know of those two, in regard to prayer, let's continue to be in prayer for Tish. Tish, is there any change? No change. Okay. Her dealing with cancer in her body, so we need to continue to pray for her. Need to continue to be in prayer for Bill Hess, as he continues to just adjust more and more to life at home now and strengthen. Need to be in prayer for Nathan. And any change as far as when they're going to break his hands and all that?
It's going to be the 8th.
8th of August? Okay. And need to be in prayer for Amber. We need to pray for her. Need to be in prayer for Nancy Becker. She continues to deal with pain in her body. Vic Edwards, dealing with his eyes and his family. And any prayer requests that I'm not aware of this morning? Yes?
I'd like to keep Rick's sister Helen,
Helen
on our prayer list, but she's making a major move to the Killeen area where her son Elijah is stationed in Iraq right now, but he'll be back home in November.
From Iraq?
Yeah. And
great.
They're looking to buy a house out toward Killeen, and she's leaving California for the first time in several years. Just a big major move in her life.
Killeen here in Texas?
Yeah.
Oh, they're
going to
move here?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She's always lived out in California.
Yeah, I know.
It's a big change for her. Big step and kind of scary.
It's going to be different when your relatives start living close to you. I mean, you know that.
And she's en route right now. She just left this morning. She stayed the night with her. She's on her way. She had a 12 o'clock appointment with the realtor to look at the house.
Okay. Well, we'll be in prayer for Helen and for family in that respect. Any other? Yes, sir.
Talked to Vic last night, and he wants us to put his daughters on the prayer list, Charlotte and Aisha.
Okay, we'll put those on prayer, Leslie. And any other prayer requests? Okay, our prize this morning, we really don't have a prize, but our prize this morning for coming the furthest, Gerald Weber, been listening, part of our congregation for a long time, his friend Greg. They got up this morning and flew in from Houston, and he's learning to fly, and he just brought his flight instructor, and they just flew in. And the prize, the flight instructor, gets, he gets dragged to church. Okay, good. Greg, we're glad to have you too. And so ask him how his approach and land was, and kind of always, I said, look, anybody can just bring a plane in nice. It takes talent to boom, 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 and then just still ease up to the building. And while everybody inside's going, ah! And so we're glad to have you all here this morning. And Mark, I got everything, got all my shots, and I got, yes, I'm got all my stuff laid out to pack on the bed. Not the one I sleep in, but on another one. And pretty much ready to go to Africa. Yeah. Yeah. After talk. I don't like the way he talks. So you're feeling good about it, huh? After talking to Dan, I feel good. Dan has a wonderful way. He came in last week. He has a wonderful way. We went through everything. Money, security, what I'm going to teach. Just had a wonderful time together. But I like the way he just sort of slides over things, like we're going to have to fly from Lagos, Nigeria, over to Ethiopia. and he just started saying, and we won't leave the airport. And then he says, we're quick. And then we go, I went, wait a minute. How long are we going to be there? You know, sir. Well, how come we're not going to go see the town? Herman, we're just going to stay in the airport at Ethiopia. Oh, okay. And then we're going to go to Calabar, Zambia. We're going to do this, that. And he just says real quickly what we're not going to do. And doesn't really give me a reason why we're not doing certain things. But it's getting close, so please be in prayer for the pastors whom we will be teaching, as well as the congregations. We'll be speaking to a couple of different congregations, but primarily the pastors, the reason for going. So please be in prayer and for them, that God will even now start preparing their souls for the message that we'll be going over, going through, and be giving them. And so please bear that in mind. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity for us. As far as our prayer, we're going to take several MP3 players and a stack of our disc. And so just be in prayer for the entire spiritual aspect of the journey, and both Dan and I's safe return. And he was going through, we're not going to get out of that airport. I'm not going to get out of that airport. So, and then we're going to go from London back to Chicago. And I said, and we're not going to leave that airport either. That's a dangerous place. And so just bear all of those things in mind then. Now, one other thing. Next Sunday is not only will I be leaving that afternoon, but next Sunday is Communion Sunday. So just remember, next Sunday we'll have Communion. And the food concept will be Southern Potluck. So we're going to do Southern Potluck. And that just means anything that's in your kitchen, bring it. And we'll do that next Sunday before I leave. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver, first of all, is defined as one who has personally accepted Christ as Savior. But it's, the offertory is not only or not just for the believer in general. It's for the believer who knows how to walk in the Spirit and be led in the Spirit in regard to giving. Paul says, if I give all that I have to the poor so that I myself become poor but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. So, to have in spiritual impact, we want to be in the power of the Spirit. And unfortunately, not that many Christians in the world know how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. And there's a lot of money given to the church throughout the world, and very little of it has an impact. Very few know in regard to being filled with the Spirit. So I'm going to be sure that in giving, we give to the Spirit. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. It is our custom here in this assembly, Father, that when we come to this facet of worship, that we are keenly reminded of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved in this worship. First of all, Father, the political economic freedom that we enjoy in America, the freedom to do with our lives as we see fit, our money, our time, live where we see fit, marry, church, just do with our lives, waste our lives if we wish. We have wonderful freedom in this country. And we're most appreciative for the men and women who have provided and are providing this freedom right up to this hour. And the men and women in the military services throughout all of our history, and many on in harm's way right now today. We value this freedom. We do not take it lightly. But Heavenly Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection, because it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. We have eyes to see who to marry and why, what to do with our money and why, what to do with our time and why, where to worship and why. If it were not for the spiritual freedom, we would not have eyes to see the importance of each of these decisions that we make in our life. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use them in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. In using this humble assembly, you've seen fit to use it in so many ways it just astounds us, Heavenly Father. We're so appreciative. From the internet, first of all, the local level right here in our own homes, in our own lives, the internet, publications, tapes, so many different ways, sending the word all abroad. And Father, we just pray that you'll continue to use this assembly. We put ourselves completely into your hands. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Wow, that's great. Let's do that one again. Mark's comment and remind me, just so many people have made little remarks about not coming back. And I believe whether I'm in bed or in Africa, when the Lord's going to call me home, He's going to call me home. I'd rather die in Texas, obviously, but I'd rather be raptured from Texas. I mean, when we're in heaven, we're all going, where were you when the rapture occurred? What were you doing when the rapture occurred? And I'd like to say I was in Texas, but if I was teaching pastors, that's great too. You are aware of the fact we've been doing some really super work in Revelation on Tuesday night in Revelation 13, and in which the dictator of the revived Roman Empire is profiled for us, and the leader of Israel, the false prophet, is profiled for us, and how things are going to take shape and where things have to be for when the rapture occurs. No prophecy to be fulfilled, but there are things that have to be in place when the rapture occurs for the things that are going to occur in the tribulation. And they just moved some thousand troops, Israelis did, along the Gaza Strip. And there are certain military personnel and experts and all of this that say maybe sometime in August a real war could break out along the Gaza Strip. And so we're just interesting times and events. It's amazing. You take the whole world and it all centers on one little area. And Isaac and Ishmael and the confrontation through history of these two, their descendants. And it's just amazing how the world right now is becoming so populated with people turning to the Muslim religion, which offers nothing and can't explain the past, can't explain the present, can't explain the future like the Bible does. And we know that people all over the world are going to follow the dictator. And just interesting, the kinds of people that are saturating the world in the Muslim concept of thinking. And just a lot of things are coming to picture. So it's our opportunity to spread the gospel, to live our life with enthusiasm and enjoyment, and the time that we have. Let's begin with the word of prayer before we begin our study this morning. Purpose of the prayer: test yourself to see if you're trusting His Spirit, because His Spirit is the teacher, not me. Let's pray. Pray now, Heavenly Father, that Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that You would have us to see in the passages that we look at, that they will awaken us to things that we need to be aware of and guide us and strengthen and encourage us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we've just spent quite a few months, I don't want to hear years, but quite a few months on the study of the gospel, and we have noted various designations of the gospel. I'm going to try to put this into a children's teaching book, because it just, you learn everything in doing it. But we study the gospel of the promise, which takes us all the way back. The reason we started with that one, it took us back to the garden. And then we study the gospel of the kingdom, which takes us into the age of Israel and flows through the age of Israel. And then we noted at this point what probably theologically maybe should have been number one, but I had a reason for making it number three in our study. Then we studied the gospel of God. He is the, and you remember that the of, the gospel of, in genitive is very important. And like, for an example, the gospel of God, genitive of source of God, genitive authority of God. So we've got those kinds of things. Then the rest of several of the next ones started identifying the person of the gospel. And then we studied the gospel of his son. And then we studied the gospel of Christ, further designation. So first of all, his son. Then we have the clarification that his son is the Christ. Then we study the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are all just taken right out of the text. It's gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we study the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. Then the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we studied the three remaining were aspects of the gospel. The gospel of grace, extremely important. The gospel of our salvation. And then the gospel of peace. Now, what I want to do this morning is finish, this will be our last lesson, on the gospel. And what this lesson is about today is that there are a multitude of other occurrences of euangelion, the Greek word for gospel, in the New Testament that did not have gospel of. Our study has been every passage in the New Testament that had gospel of. But there are other things I want you to be aware of in regard to this gospel, and that's what I want to cover all of these this morning. Now, no particular way of putting these. What I did, I went through, and first of all, just took every time gospel was given in the New Testament, eliminated all the ones that we had studied, and then I just went through and tried to categorize the remaining uses of the word gospel. And I came up with three categories that I want us to look at in closing this study this morning. The first one is going to be warnings. Then the second one will be characteristics of the gospel. And then the third will be personal aspects of the gospel. Personal aspects of the gospel. So first of all, let's take a look at the warnings in regard to the gospel. Now, we have spent some time on the gospel, what the gospel is. Very simply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The gospel is the good news of God, of how to come home to Him. We're in a very important study on Wednesday night in the study of the Gospel of John. And dealing with I am the way, the truth, and the life. Most people, when they study that passage, like to start with man in sin, that he's the way and out, and he's the truth, and he's the life. But to me, it's far more important, if you want to grasp I am the way, the truth, and the life, you start with man in the garden. You start with man the way God intended man to be, in harmony with him. And then when you come to I am the way, the truth, and the life, it becomes so dynamic and so powerful. You start with man in condemnation and in sin, it just distorts your whole view of God. It distorts your whole view of the gospel. You've got man having to do something and all the false things that come out of it. You start with man in perfect harmony with God. And you start man in a wonderful place in his relationship with God. And then God's calling him back home with I am the way, the truth, and the life, or the gospel, becomes so dynamic and so powerful. But here's the first warning. There is in the world a different gospel. There is in the world a different gospel. It's not the gospel we have been studying. So let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. We won't spend a great deal of time here because we have studied the book of Galatians and we have studied this and noted it several times. But I want to just take a look at it. So that you're aware there is a different gospel out there. And as a matter of fact, in the principle of what's being taught, most churches teach a false doctrine, a different gospel. They teach a gospel that you have to work. You have to do something for God. That's a different gospel from the gospel we've been studying. So, Galatians chapter 1, and let's just quickly read. That's all we're going to do this morning, but I want you aware of these things. Verse 6, Galatians 1:6. Galatians is Paul's first book written. It's a primer of all of Paul's teaching. I am amazed that you are sinning so quickly. that you are committing body sins, that you are stealing from one another, that you are lying to one another. That's not what it says. That's not what amazes Paul. Let's see what amazes Paul. I'm amazed that you are so quickly, and people, this is right after he's given it, deserting him, God the Father, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, different from the one he taught. Verse 7, which is not really another. Now, what he means by that is, it will not save. It's not another gospel. It will not save you. It will not restore you. It's not really another one. It's just put forward as one. Now, I don't have time for what I want to do today, but just quickly, let's quickly go through it. Which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, we study the gospel of Christ. But what I wanted to look at is that phrase, a different gospel. They distort the gospel. People, they didn't take the gospel away. These churches are teaching a gospel. They use the word gospel. But their gospel is that you have to do something for God. You have to be moral. You have to join the church. You have to invite him in your heart. You have to make him Lord. You have to walk an aisle. You have to be baptized. You have to maintain it. You have to keep it. It's not the same gospel. Just believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved forever. It's different. They distorted it. And we studied that word. It means they just tweaked with it a little bit. Leave it alone. It's perfect. It's perfect. Women meet men and they want to tweak them. Now, you fell in love with this guy. Leave him alone. Men want to do the same thing. They want to start tweaking. Leave him alone. That's the one you fell in love with. Don't change it. See? So, the gospel is perfect. It's by grace through faith in the one whom God has sent. And look, let's just finish reading now. Which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you who want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even though we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary, same idea as a different one, contrary, which means that you have to do something, to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And we have said, as we have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary, so this is another way of wording the word of being different, a contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. Okay, now turn with me to 2 Corinthians. It's going to be Bible drill. 2 Corinthians 11. Go back toward the front. 2 Corinthians, one book back. 2 Corinthians 11. I hope you write these down and you can read them and go over them on your own and work with them. But 2 Corinthians 11, and we're just going to read verses 4 through 7. 2 Corinthians 11, 4 through 7. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, now people, they haven't taken the name of Jesus away from you. They use the name gospel, they use the name Jesus, but it's not the one that Paul presented. Another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people today are listening to evil spirits, to demonic spirits, which you have not received, or a different gospel. This is a warning, people. The false gospel is predominant in the world today. This is why the book of Jude was written, to warn us of false teachers. So, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted. See, you believed in the gospel we brought, That's not the Jesus they're bringing to you. The Jesus they're bringing to you is you got to work for him. You got to be good for him. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to invite him in your heart, make him Lord. All this kind of stuff. Not just believe in him. Not just by faith alone. Okay. Or a different gospel, which you have not accepted. You bear this beautifully. In other words, you sit and listen to false teaching. For I considered myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. John, Peter, and in our day and time, some great Bible person, some great thinker in the Bible. That don't ever be impressed with all that stuff. Verse 6. But even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. In fact, in every way we have made this evident to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself, that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God, and we studied that, to you without charge? Okay, so the first thing I want you to do in our whole study of the gospel, be warned, there is a different gospel. Just because somebody uses the word gospel does not mean they're saying the same thing you are. Just because someone uses the word faith does not mean they mean the same thing you do. Their object may be different. Just because a person uses the word grace doesn't mean they mean the same thing you do. Now the next warning is the gospel is veiled. See, Satan has a lot of tactics. So the first tactic is a different gospel. But then the gospel is veiled. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Go back a few pages from where you are. 2 Corinthians 4, the gospel is veiled. And we're just going to read verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled. That means it's hidden, darkened. Now, there are a lot of ways it could be darkened. This could tie into what we just saw, a false gospel, a different gospel. That'd be veiling the true gospel. Or just take you away from the whole thing of the gospel. So, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. And that is predominant in the world today with the rise of false religions or religions and all the things that are going on, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, what's beautiful here is you go back to chapter 3, where we're being transformed into the image of Christ, who is the image of God. So we're being transformed into the image of God, which is how we started out in the garden, which is how we started out in the way God intended us to be, which is what Christ brings when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Takes us back to the way that we were. Okay, the third warning in regard to the gospel that we want to look at is the gospel is not according to man. The gospel is not according to man. Now, please listen to this. It is not according to the traditions of man. What's a tradition of man today? Invite Jesus into your heart and be saved. Show me that in the Bible. It's not there. It's a tradition of man. And what has the church done? Well, that's it. That's the gospel. No, it's not. It's a lie. Invite is an active verb. Invite means you get to do something. Faith is a passive verb. You receive by simply believing. But see how the traditions of man catch on? In our seminaries, in our churches, people, books, songs, everything. Traditions of man. Lordship salvation. Started by MacArthur, who doesn't understand the truth at all of the gospel. It's a tradition of man. Oh, it sounds so good. Doesn't invite Jesus into your heart sound so good? It sounds so... Invite Jesus into your heart. Make him Lord. People, you can't make him Lord as an unbeliever. What a lie. What an unadulterated lie to people. Oh, I'm going to make him Lord. You can't do that in the flesh. You've got to be in the power of the Spirit for a period of time. So which means you've got to, first of all, be saved. Then you got to know how to walk in the Spirit. It takes time for those things to take place. But tradition of man. And boy, we just love the traditions of man. Just believe in Jesus Christ. That's so fashion. So we want to invite him. Because why does that appeal to us? Because it's an active verb. I get to be part of my salvation. I get to do something. Make him Lord. I get to do something. Faith, I don't get to do anything except receive. All I get to do is just trust him. And he gives me eternal life. Traditions of man. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1. Let's go back to Galatians 1. Verses 11 and 12. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. For I, Paul, would have you know, brethren, believers, talking to believers, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. People, the gospel is not of man. It's not according to man. Now, the fourth thing we want to look up under warnings, a note under warning. First of all, there's a different gospel. Be careful of that. The gospel is veiled. The gospel is not according to man. And then I want you to be aware there is opposition to the gospel. Opposition to the gospel. Let's start with a general principle in Luke 20. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 20. There is opposition to the true gospel. We know that because there's a false gospel. He deposes the true gospel. We know that because he veils the true gospel. So there's going to be opposition to the gospel. Luke chapter 20, verse 1. And it came about on one of the days while he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel that the chief priest, religion, not the bartender, but religious leaders, that the chief priest and the scribes with the elders confronted him. They came up and challenged his teaching from the religious crowd. The ones who should be teaching the truth are the very ones trying to stop the truth. Now go to 2 Corinthians 4. I know you're just there, but we're building here. 2 Corinthians 4. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in this earthen vessel. Now the earthen vessel is our body. And that's all it is. It's a vessel. Some vessels are more attractive than others, but it's still just a vessel. That the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted. Now all of these are because he's given the gospel. Persecuted, but not forsaken by God. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' benefit, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak the gospel. Regardless of the consequences. We just studied passages where Paul said, I don't consider my life as something to hold on to at the sake of not giving out the gospel. If I'm going to die, if I go to this town or that town, Paul said, then that's okay. But for me just to stay alive, that's not what living's about. Living is not about staying alive. Living to me is about giving the gospel. So this becomes very important to him. Verse 8:14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your benefit, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though we are beaten, persecuted, all these things. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary, that's about during our life, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So there is opposition to the gospel, to the presenting of the gospel. So our warnings, a different gospel, a gospel is veiled, gospel is not according to man, and then there is opposition to the gospel. Let's go to the second group of passages, and I put them under the concept of characteristics of the gospel. And the first one is the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. Let's open your Bibles to Galatians 2. Back to Galatians again. Galatians 2. Galatians 2, and we'll look at verse 5. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Now, people, I could spend the rest of the day on that phrase, the truth of the gospel. That's the key. We line up 10 preachers, and they get 10 different truths of the gospel. You've got to know what the truth of the gospel is. See, that's a powerful phrase, truth of the gospel. Amen. That's great. But what is it? This preacher says it's this. This preacher says it's that. This preacher says it's this. This teacher says that. This teacher says something else. You got to know what the truth of the gospel is. Truth of the gospel is that all that we can do is receive it by faith. The truth of the good news is that God has done everything, everything. For our salvation and spirituality, because the gospel is for both unbeliever and believer. It's for both unbeliever and believer. And the truth of the gospel is that it is by faith only in the one whom God has sent. So that becomes a very powerful phrase. So let's read Galatians 2:5. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Look at verse 7, please. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter has been to the circumcised. Now look at verse 14. Galatians 2:14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? Now, this is another passage that makes it very clear the gospel is for the believer as well as the unbeliever. makes it very clear in that respect. This is another powerful passage. But when I saw that they were not straightforward, what Paul did, and somebody may say how arrogant, but what Paul did was he met with the disciples of Christ. He met with them. And you know why he met with them? In private? What's your gospel? You tell me what your gospel is. And here's what Paul was going to do. If their gospel was different than his, he was just going to quietly go his way. Why? Because let's just say we're all here this morning, and you've got Peter, who walked with the Lord, was with the Lord those hours, John, who was with the Lord, and all these disciples lining up here, and they preach to you a gospel where you have to do something. You have to obey the law. You have to do this or do that. And here is Paul, who persecuted Christians and known for that, he preaches you a gospel. All you have to do is to believe. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe these loving, wonderful stained glass men. You're not going to believe this persecutor. So he didn't want this to be a popularity contest. He said, just tell me what your gospel is. Let me hear what your gospel is. Not going to argue, not going to fight. We're not going to... Is your gospel the same as mine? If it's not, goodbye, gentlemen. If it is, then let's join hands, because that's the issue. So that's what's going on in these passages. You've got to know the truth. So he says, but when I saw they were not straightforward, and this deals with some of these people that we're talking about, and straightforward, it's a medical term. It's a medical term. It's a medical term for a doctor who fixes bones. And if you're going to have a doctor fix your... See my little finger that sticks out? It's done that since the sixth grade. Now, I broke it playing football, and I didn't tell my parents because I knew what they'd want to do. They'd pull it out and break it again. And it hurt enough the first time. But if you're going to have somebody fix that, you want somebody who knows what a good straight... what it's supposed to look like. You don't want somebody fixing it that thinks it looks like that. You want somebody who knows how it's supposed to look. What is straight? You're going to have somebody fix your teeth. You want somebody who knows what teeth ought to look like. A good set of teeth that just meet each other just right and everything. You want to deal with somebody with the gospel. Do they understand exactly the truth of that gospel? Okay, let's move on. Truth of the gospel. Second characteristic we're going to look at is the effect and impact of the gospel. The effect or the impact of the gospel. Let's start with Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. This is another one we could spend all day on, a couple hours on this, but I just want to give it to you and you note them. And then you come back and study them. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Holy Spirit, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. So the effect of the gospel is that it releases us from the slavery of sin, of the law, and recovery of sight to the blind. So it opens the eyes, the true gospel opens the eyes, spiritually, to set free those who are downtrodden, spiritually. It sets us free. These are the effects, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Now, what we're looking at here are impacts and effects of the gospel. Look with me at 2 Timothy. Let's go over to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. See, if I had PowerPoint, I'd just have it on overhead. 2 Timothy 1. Jim, this isn't working. I'm running out of time. I didn't think it would take this long. 2 Timothy 1. I think I'm in trouble when I go to Africa, because I don't think I have enough material, but I didn't think I had enough for this morning. And I hope we can get through this. All right, 2 Timothy 1. And we want to look at verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Timothy 1, 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me as prisoner, but join with me in the suffering of the gospel Oh, let's see. That's not what I wanted here. 2 Timothy 1:8. Look at verse 10. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, effect of the gospel, and brought life, effect of the gospel, and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the impact and effect of the true gospel. That's what it will do. And one more passage, 1 Peter 4:6. 1 Peter 4:6. This is powerful. 1 Peter 4:6. For the gospel. Now that's, we got to deal with, we're dealing with the truth of the gospel. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead spiritually. He didn't go to some cemetery, people. We're talking about spiritual. To those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the Spirit according to the will of God. That's the impact or the effect of the gospel. Now, the third characteristic of the gospel we want to look at. The only response to the gospel is our faith, not works. The only response to the gospel is our faith, not works. Let's start with Mark 1:5. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark 1:5. I'm sorry, Mark 1:15. Mark 1:15. Change your writing if you wrote it down, I'm sorry. Verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change your mind, and believe in the gospel. That's the only response required of the gospel. One other blatant passage, Acts 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 15. Acts 15:7. While you turn to Acts, I want to tell you a funny story. Dan Hill was, and it was really wonderful, his church gave him a beautiful plaque and a nice little bonus check, but it gave him a beautiful plaque a couple of weeks ago. And the plaque read, he's been at their church longer than any of their previous pastors had been there. And it said, to our pastor who actually made it through the entire New Testament. Gave, and I looked at him and I, well, big deal. I said, I know God's impressed. All right, Acts 15:7. Acts 15:7. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel, the message of the gospel, and believe. These are two blatant passages in the impact, or the only response of the gospel is faith. Now, the fourth one, fourth characteristic we're going to look at, we are called by the gospel. We are called by the gospel. And the clearest passage on this is 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. We are called by the gospel. How are we called home? We're called by the gospel. This is the good news. Come home. This is the good news. Come back to the way you were. So we are called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we were going to prolong this study, that you gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, what did we study? We studied the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. You share in that glory by this gospel. But we are called by the gospel. So we're called by the gospel. Secondly, believe it or not, Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Verse 6. Galatians 1:6, who are called by the gospel, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him, God the Father, who called you, how did he call? By the grace of Christ for a different gospel. In other words, we're called by the gospel of Christ, and that's how we're called. Then the fifth thing, eternal gospel. Eternal gospel. Revelation 14:6. Revelation 14:6. This gospel is eternal. You are saved forever. Just another way of looking at eternal life. Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel flying in the mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, all the people of the earth. Okay, the next that we want to look at in regard to characteristics. Because it is eternal, see the word therefore, I picked up off of point 5, and I'm sorry I don't have it all on the same one, that point 5 was it is an eternal gospel. Now point 6, therefore, the gospel is our hope. Now, it doesn't say the gospel of hope, but that's the concept given. Please turn with me, if you will, Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the confidence, the hope of the gospel. Now, why would we move away? Become discouraged? You don't want to be beaten anymore, persecuted anymore? Ah, because you're prosperous and living your own life? You're too busy? Your life's got too much to do? All these kind of things. People, you want to talk about persecution of the gospel, you need to be with us on Tuesday night in Revelation. Christians, believers, not necessarily Christians, but believers, Jews and just Gentile believers, are going to be killed all over the world. And of course, the old saying as it goes, would they kill you if they were killing Christians? If they were coming in and killing Christians, would they kill you? Would they even know that you were a Christian? So, this becomes so powerfully important. Look at the way the verse reads in Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in faith firmly established and steadfast and not move away, how would I move away? Well, like I said, you move away because you're just too busy. Move away because it's just not important to you anymore. Bible class, studying the Bible, learning the Bible, witnessing for Christ. Just isn't walking in the Spirit, just isn't important anymore. Move away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. So, spreading the gospel, this is the gospel of hope. Now, the seventh one, the gospel is the point of unity of believers. The gospel is the point of unity of believers. Back to Galatians chapter 2. First book Paul wrote, Galatians 2. Maybe the first book of the New Testament. Galatians 2, verse 2. Galatians 2:2. And it was because of a revelation that I went up and submitted to them the gospel. Now that's when he went with the disciples. That's who he's talking about. I told you a few minutes ago. He met with the disciples to see what they believed. And it was because of revelation that I went up, and that's by the Holy Spirit, that I went up and I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But I did it But I did so in private to those who were of reputation for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. In other words, the point of unity is going to be this gospel. Now look at chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Wow, that settles it. This same gospel has been the same all through history, Old Testament or New Testament, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. One more passage, look at Ephesians 3. Go to Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians 3, verse 6. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers. Get that word fellow? Unity. Fellow partakers of the promise of in Christ Jesus through the gospel. People, the gospel is our point of unity. It's amazing to me how many Christians who agree on the gospel fight each other, compete with each other, bite each other, devour each other, judge each other, malign each other, accuse each other, gossip against each other. Yet they still believe in the same gospel. It's just amazing to me the way we are. All right. And then the last one is the gospel is related to the rapture. The gospel is related to history. The rapture of the church and the beginning of the tribulation. Please look at Mark 13. Mark 13. Mark 13. Mark 13, verse 10. Mark 13, verse 10. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Before the rapture occurs, all the nations must hear the gospel. I remember when 9/11 occurred, and I got several calls, a lot of calls, from preachers I hadn't even heard from in a while. And, is this the discipline that's going to take out America? Is this all? And I said, okay, let's talk about this, how horrible America is. Well, let's see now. First of all, our last five presidents are proclaimed to be believers in Jesus Christ. That's pretty good. And I said then, but most importantly, let's just talk about the amount of money comes out of America in the spreading of the gospel. Let's talk about organizations that are homed in America that go into villages in Africa, India, all over the world, South America, to people that don't even have an alphabet, don't even have a language really written out, teach them their own language, teach them to read their own language, so they can give them the gospel. I said, that doesn't sound too evil to me. And this is one of the things, but what I wanted you to see here is that the gospel, this is related to history. Now, the final part we're going to look at in regard to the gospel is what I just wanted to classify as personal aspects of the gospel. Just some personal aspects of the gospel. First of all, Paul is very clear, this is my gospel. It's my gospel. It's part of me. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. It's my gospel. I told you this morning was Bible class. It's a Bible church. Sometimes we never move from one verse for several Sundays, but now we've moved. All right. By the way, I want this down on the record, how many verses we covered today. All right. Romans 2, verse 16. Romans 2:16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past. Just for the record, put down, we won't turn there, 2 Timothy 2:8. Now the next designation, 2 Timothy 2:8. Romans 2:16, Romans 16:25, 2 Timothy 2:8. Now the next designation, our gospel. Ours. In other words, your gospel. By the way, the gospel should be yours. When he says my gospel, you and I should be able to say the same thing. This is my gospel. It's what I believe. It's what I want to give to others. Now, our gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's look at that. 2 Thessalonians 2 for our gospel. Point of unity. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. And it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, this is our gospel. Now, let me give you a principle. The verse may sound simple, but once this becomes your gospel, it will direct you as to what you have to say to anyone. I'm not afraid to talk to anyone. This gospel is mine. It is yours. And this becomes our happiness. And it directs your life. So that's point three. Once it becomes your gospel, it will direct you as to your purpose and as to your message. So let's take a look at that. We're almost through this morning. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 1:17. 1 Corinthians 1:17. It will direct your life, your purpose. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ did not send me to baptize. I know what he sent me for, but to preach the gospel to unbeliever and believer, not in cleverness of speech, as a lot of people do, that the cross of Christ should not be made void. So it will guide your purpose. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am not under compulsion, for woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Let me make this very simple. Do any of you boast that you can breathe? We don't boast of it. It's what I do. I got to breathe. Don't boast on it. And that's what Paul is saying. I preach the gospel. It's nothing to boast about. It's what I am. It's not what I do. It's what I am. I do this. I have to do this. This is what I am. So this is the principle that he is making here. Galatians 4. Look at Galatians 4 a moment, please. Just direct your whole life if you understand this is your gospel. This is the good news you have for anyone. In the gym, in the nightclub, at work, on a plane, in a grocery store, wherever you are. Galatians chapter 4, verse 13. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. What's my point here? People, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your condition. This is what you do. Not boasting, but I just had opportunity when I laid in the hospital in Plano or at the VA. the opportunity to give the gospel. It was there over and over. You don't, well, I'm in this circumstance and I can't do it. I know one time I led a person to the Lord in a nightclub. Drinks being sold, obviously. And someone, oh, how could you even be in such a place and all that? I was there, and that person was ready. It doesn't matter where you are. Well, they may not think you're a wonderful Christian. Well, this person wasn't ready there to judge. He was there ready to receive the good news of the gospel. It doesn't matter where we are, what the circumstances. Well, I can't give them. Boy, they really need the gospel here, but, you know, I'm drinking and I'm doing this, so I can't give it, but they're even talking. But I don't, I'm ashamed. People, any circumstance, whether you're suffering, whether it's in this circumstance, that circumstance, it doesn't matter. If you're with somebody where somebody needs to hear the gospel, get in the Spirit and give the gospel. It's that simple. Don't sit there and judge, well, I cannot give the good news to this person who is ready for it because I'm not adequate. Well, whoever made you adequate in the first place? Do you think you're more adequate because you're wearing a coat and tie in church? Does that make you adequate? Because there's no liquor on your breath? Does that make you adequate? People, it doesn't. God makes you adequate. And He can make you adequate at any given second, under any given circumstance, that you can give the gospel to somebody who's ready and wants it. He makes you adequate. It's your gospel. Give it out. This is the thing that Paul is saying here. So under any circumstance, let's turn to Philippians 1. Few pages over, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians 1, verse 12. Philippians 1, 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. What were circumstances? Thrown in jail, thrown in prison. Well, look where I am. I can't give the gospel. People don't ever do that. This is an opportunity. Wherever you are, it's no accident. Always remember that. God is in control. There are no accidents. I loved the movie, The Apostle, for many reasons. But I think one of the most joyful, one of the most pleasant things was, if you remember the movie, those of you who saw it, the very last scene, he is on a chain gang, and he has everybody on the chain gang singing a gospel hymn. It didn't matter to him. Well, I can't witness because I'm in jail. I'm a bum like they are. I've committed manslaughter. So I've got to just shut up. No, he gave the gospel to men who were ready to hear it, who were in bad condition. That's a true story. That really happened, people. That ending. So this is the type of thing, you've got to have that mindset. So Paul says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have really turned out, while they look bad, they've turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Look at verse 16. The latter do it by out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. You want to be sure you're in the power of the Spirit when you give the gospel. Now, let me quickly go through this. Just bear with me. Point five. Point four. Therefore, since this is your purpose, since this is your gospel, your purpose, you're not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it if you're on the chain gang. Don't be ashamed of it at work. Don't be ashamed of it wherever you are. And this is the great passage. You can write it down. We won't turn there. We've read it this morning. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to save. Don't ever be ashamed of it. It's your gospel. It's your purpose. Don't be ashamed of yourself. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Please remember that. You're not adequate because you look nice, because you're this or that. You are made adequate by the power of God the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians 3. So He makes you adequate. All right, point five, very quickly. Financial support in proclaiming the gospel. One passage we'll look at, 1 Corinthians 9. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Financial support in proclaiming the gospel, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 9, 14. So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. That is, from the proclaiming of the gospel. We won't go through any more of that. Then the sixth one, appointed by God, not by man. Appointed by God, not by man. And this is very important as to being the gospel proclaimed, because people, what do? Don't we try to please the one we work for? So if man appoints us, we want to please man. We're going to be man pleasers. If God appoints us, we're pleasing God. Let's take a look. Appointed by God, not man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're almost through. Bear with me. 1 Thessalonians 2. You'll still beat the Baptist to the restaurants. 1 Thessalonians 2, they're there till noon. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. Paul's not worried about being examined by man. He's not going to teach a gospel, present a gospel that is the truth before God. Galatians chapter 1, of course. Galatians 1, we've already read it, so let me read it to you quickly if you want to turn there. Galatians 1, 8. But even though we are an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accused. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accused. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I here to please man or God? Or am I striving to please men in what I teach? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Okay, the last one. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Presenting the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's start off with Luke chapter 4. This is the last one. Luke chapter 4. This is important because I want you to understand you don't have to be filled with the Spirit to present the gospel. Just like, well, we read a passage a moment ago, people are doing it for the love of money. And so they're just doing it for more money, but they present the true gospel. You don't have to be filled with the Spirit to present the true gospel. God the Holy Spirit can take the gospel that you present and powerfully cause the unbeliever's eyes to be open or the believer's eyes to be open and see the truth of the gospel. But for your spiritual benefit, for your spiritual momentum, your spiritual life, you want to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. So with many other exhortations, also he preached the gospel. Well, that's not it. Well, I know the other one's right. 1 Thessalonians 1. I'm sorry. There's a passage there, but that's not it. All right, 1 Thessalonians. My computer does that every now and then. 1 Thessalonians 1. First Thessalonians 1, 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in the power, even in the Holy Spirit. The word "and" should be even in the Holy Spirit. And with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. But it came in the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, 12. It was revealed to them that they were not striving, they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by or in the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Well, we want to be able to present the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, we went through this morning very quickly, but it will end now our study on the gospel. And we've studied all the designations and now just noted a number of passages to give you a feeling of the gospel, the false gospel that's out there, enemies to the gospel, and then characteristics of the gospel, and then the gospel being very personal to each of us. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Pray now, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will take these things that we quickly looked at this morning in dealing with your gospel. Pray, Father, your Spirit, first of all, will plant these in a firm ground in our souls, taking stability there. And then have an impact and effect in our own life. This is my gospel. I have good news to give, and I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Time may be in this country, Heavenly Father, where it will become more and more hazardous to tell others of Christ. But your Spirit will give us the courage. Your Spirit will give us the fortitude and the mindset. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. For me to live as Christ and die as gain. We have the hope, the confidence, and the peace of this gospel inside us to tell anyone and everyone this gospel to both unbeliever and believer. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the bread that we've just partaken. Thank you for it. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.